Live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist.
Around the world, the trip begins with a kiss. Roam if you want to, roam around the world.
Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard another edition of Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Hope you're having a wonderful weekend wherever you happen to be. You know we live on airplanes. We crisscross the country every week, sometimes the world, to bring you the show. So get out your maps, boys and girls. Last week we were in Washington, D.C. This week, 30 degrees, 16 minutes north, 87 degrees, 42 minutes west. We are coming to you from what some people would call ground zero. We're in Gulf Shores, Alabama. That's about midway between Pensacola and Mobile, Alabama. And we're taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. It's just amazing to be here along 32 miles of beach in Gulf Shores and realizing that a month ago we weren't going to be here. 3 weeks ago we weren't going to be here. We had no plans to be here. And yet I'm surrounded by most of the news media covering what could be the worst oil spill in the history of the United States. Probably is by now, depending on which numbers you believe. And what's being done about it, what you need to do about it, and what the real situation is. So we decided to come right here directly and report live on what's going on, the perceptions, and of course, the reality. Joining me on the phone right now, one of my good buddies and my colleague at CBS News, Peter King. Hey, Peter.
Hi, Peter. Good to be with you.
I know you're in Florida today, but I know you've been down here covering this. Give me a sit rep, if you will, on what you've been seeing.
Well, Peter, I've had four trips to the Gulf in the past week, and I just came back from back to Orlando from exactly where you are, swinging through Pensacola Beach, Perdido Key, Gulf Shores, up to Mobile, and then down to Bayou La Batterie and Dauphin Island. And you know, from an oil standpoint, you know, I've seen some oil washing up on some of the beaches, not the huge thick sludge that we've seen on TV so often, but more like tar balls and lines of tar balls in some places. From a tourism standpoint, and since this is a travel show and travel and tourism is what you talk about, I guess I'm floored because so many of these towns along the Gulf that should be absolutely packed right now with long lines of traffic and wall-to-wall people, they've pretty much turned into ghost towns. And it's heartbreaking because in this part of the country, you know, this is their lifeblood. You hear a lot about oil. You hear a lot about shrimping and fishing for Louisiana in particular. But once you get toward the area where you are, Gulf Shores and further into the Florida Panhandle from Alabama, the next 3 to 4 months is when everybody makes their living, when the hotels and restaurants and other attractions and beaches are full, and it's just not even close right now. It's heartbreaking.
Well, I guess the question I have to ask you, and you've been on site longer than I have, you know, perception versus reality, because I'm looking out at a beautiful beach today, miles and miles of sand, some people sitting on the beach, nobody in the water yet, but the point is the beaches are open.
Yeah, the beaches are open. I ran into very few beaches that were closed, although there were a couple where the hazmat crews were out and around where there were particularly heavy concentrations of oil. But as you and I talk just a little while ago, we got a news release that beach from about where you are, from the Alabama state line to Johnson Beach in Florida, has been reopened as in terms of swimming. There are a number of places where they've had red flags up. That was one of them. The oil is far enough offshore, and there's not any washing onshore. So that's just the latest news as we talk. And, yeah, there is a lot of open beach there, and I think this is what's breaking so many hearts, because so many people along the Gulf feel that we as the media have painted with a very wide stroke, saying that the entire Gulf is under oil, and 2 feet of oil, if you will, and it's not that way. There are parts that are just absolutely untouched, and there are parts where there has been some coming ashore.
You know, call me a contrarian, but I always take a look at, you know, when we have our hysteria and our fear, and most Americans, I have to say, are geographically ignorant. They hear Florida, and they hear Alabama, and they think it's the entire state, assuming they can even find the state on the map, and then they don't go. When we had the SARS and the swine flu, well, what did I do during SARS? I went to Hong Kong. There were only three people in the hotel with me. I had the best time I ever had. What do we do during swine flu? I went to Mexico. We did the show a number of times from the Riviera Maya from Cancun. I had a great time, and those people who were smart enough to go had a great time as well.
And you bring up an excellent point. And, you know, what people have to do if they're planning a vacation is to do their homework and go beyond what you just see and hear in the news reports, because the news reports are only a snapshot. And in one report, it's impossible to paint the complete picture. We only send back snapshots. But a lot of the tourism agencies have set up webcams and up-to-date websites. And here in Florida, for example, Visit Florida has done that for every Florida destination that's along the coast, so people can see and judge for themselves. And the other thing that I would suggest is, you know, make some phone calls, go online, take a look at local media, and see what you're seeing. Talking with hotel owners, talking with other people in the hospitality business, Peter, they're telling me that people, instead of making their reservations and plans weeks in advance, they're doing it days in advance, which may not be that bad an idea. It's tough for the hoteliers, of course, to plan around that, but people want to make sure that if they're coming down here to Florida or anywhere else, that they're going to be able to swim and that they're going to be able to enjoy the beach. I don't blame them.
You know, I have to tell everybody, in the interest of full disclosure, you know, the old John Lennon line that, you know, life is what happens when you're busy making plans. You have some plans today, which you interrupted to come on our show, and I want to thank you for that, because a few hours from now, you, Peter King, are actually getting married.
Absolutely, but my soon-to-be wife is also in the business. She totally gets, and she said, hey, this is what we do. So I'm glad to be with you this morning, and thank you for the good words.
Oh, listen, congratulations. I mean, a true newsman interrupting his wedding plans to come on my show. I'm honored. Oh, my God.
I wouldn't do it for just anyone.
Hey, I really appreciate that. That's Peter King from CBS News. Now get off this phone and get dressed. You have a wedding to go to.
I'm on my way.
All right, man, I appreciate that. And when we come back, if we can find him, we're going to cross over network lines and go to our good friend, Kerry Sanders, who's been covering this up close and personal as well. A lot of local guests, a lot of helicopters going by. I should also tell you, we're coming to you from the Hangout Restaurant, where we actually are hanging out on the beaches of Gulf Shores, Alabama. Back for more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
GoRVing.com. With RVs starting at just $5,000, taking memorable vacations has never been more affordable. To find out how you can hit the road to adventure, visit GoRVing.com. Go affordably. Go RVing.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
18 minutes after the hour on this beautiful weekend, wherever you happen to be, we're actually having a beautiful weekend in Gulf Shores, coming to you from the Hangout Restaurant. Quite a notorious, lovely, wonderful place. We'll talk a little bit about that later. We're taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. And of course, you can always call up at any time to offer Tony Hayward a job. We're doing the Tony Hayward job search for British Petroleum, because you know this guy should not be buying anything on time right now. This guy is, I mean, the clock is ticking on this guy. If you've been watching the hearings at the in the Congress, talk about a textbook course and how not to represent your company. That's our guy. Anyway, speaking of our website, petergreenberg.com, we also refer you to go to that because we have a comprehensive list of all the resources, aid, and relief organizations working so hard to help the people in Haiti, in Chile, in Western China, and of course now down here in the Gulf. Lots of opportunities for you to volunteer and actually be involved. This is not just about texting $10 on your phone to the American Red Cross, although you know they've already received over $40 million that way, especially in the Haiti relief effort. This is a time to get down here, to get down to the entire Gulf, whether it's Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, and see for yourself what is and what isn't happening, and help out too. It's the best, basically the best vacation you can give yourself because you're also giving back. Do we have Kerry Sanders on the line? If we do, we're going right to him, our good pal from NBC News, Kerry Sanders. Hey, Kerry.
Hello, Peter. How are you?
Where are you today?
Well, I'm in Louisiana. I've made my way into New Orleans for today. So I'm actually in a very vibrant downtown French Quarter.
So basically what you're telling me is while you're on the phone with me, you're holding a Go Cup?
And you have no idea what I'm looking at.
And the beauty of radio imagination. Don't do that to me. But in all seriousness, Kerry, we're just talking to our good pal Peter King at CBS News, who's in Florida right now, which is where you're normally based. What are you seeing out there, and what are you not seeing out there?
Well, I guess the economic hardship is just the face of that economic hardship. I saw the Ameripure Oyster Company. Ameripure 15 years ago was in a garage, and these were two guys, one gentleman who's a native from Louisiana, goes back four generations in the oyster business, and another guy from Chicago, and they had this idea that they could brand their oysters. It wouldn't just be a Gulf oyster, it would be an Ameripure oyster. And what they did is they created what they call a pasteurization process. You ever been to a restaurant and you see that sign that, eating raw shellfish may be hazardous to your health?
Right.
They figured out a way to get around that with their pasteurization process. And so they've grown incredibly. Their oysters are on the menu, branded right there on the menu at more than 400 Red Lobsters. Well, their business, growing and doing particularly well, shut down yesterday. 43 employees. Some of them been there 12, 13 years, had to get the pink slip, and the business is now shut down indefinitely. And there were a lot of tears and a lot of heartache and, of course, a lot of anger at BP, because this is just one more example of how things are changing. And, of course, the biggest question with 60,000 barrels a day still flowing into the Gulf on day 60-some-odd here, what's the long-term impact to the fish, the shellfish, the way of life that people, like I said, this one guy has been in it for four generations. He's the fourth generation in the oyster business, and he thinks it may, he wants to be optimistic, but he thinks this might be a really dramatic change in the way they've lived.
You know, it's interesting, Kerry. I talk about a term called wake-up call. We had a wake-up call on September 12th. We had a wake-up call just 2 months ago when the volcano erupted in Iceland. And now we have a wake-up call in the Gulf where everybody suddenly wakes up to realize the economic power of travel and tourism.
Well, I think that folks who are dedicating themselves to get on a plane, in a car, make their choice to come to this region, not only are probably finding some pretty good deals. I was in Destin, Florida not too long ago, and I know that, bookings were off 30%, and they weren't dropping the prices to rock bottom, but the prices were certainly cheaper than they normally would have, because this is the time of year that Panhandle area usually starts seeing its larger its larger crowds, as opposed to South Florida, where you usually see it in winter. But those that were going were getting, good deals, and quite frankly, the beaches were beautiful, I got to say. I mean, I know that the oil is beginning to wash up, but there's a real opportunity, I guess, if especially from the southeast, people in Atlanta and stuff hopping in their cars going down to Destin.
Well, it's interesting. When we talk about the long-term impact here, I was talking to the owner of the Hangout restaurant here this morning. He was talking about all the people who are putting in claims to British Petroleum. He said he has a T-shirt distributor in Virginia who's putting in a claim because they realize that, their sales are going to drop. I mean, when you think about the ripple effect economically to people who are not even in Alabama or Mississippi or Louisiana, it's huge.
Well, you know, this claim is really going to be a interesting thing to follow, because in addition to Virginia, just consider yesterday when I was in Franklin, Louisiana, where this oyster company shut down, and those 43 employees who lost their jobs on Monday are going to apply for food stamps now, because about the only place, and this is a cruel irony, about the only place that is hiring right now is the contractors for BP to go pick up the oil. So the people who caused them to lose their job are now the only place that they can go get any employment. And not all of them have the ability to get to the coast and do that job because they don't have transportation. I mean, people ride their bikes to work to this oyster company. And so they are going to go on public assistance and get things like food stamps. And to a person, they all told me, as you know, that's the government that pays that, but we think the government should send our food stamp bill to BP. So $20 billion may have been set aside, but when you start adding up all the little areas that people may say, well, we get a piece of that action, and we get a piece of that action, I wonder how long the $20 billion is going to last.
You know what? That was a question I was asking earlier today. I think you've raised a very interesting point about how low is this dollar figure really when you start adding it all up. I guess the other question is, Carrie, are you seeing people coming down making conscious choices to vacation here, also making conscious choices to see about coming down and helping out?
I got to say that I have not bumped into people who have said, I came here just for this reason to help the community out. There may be some folks out there. You might be planting the seed as much as anything, and then, you know, it's probably a good thought to plant that seed, because I've not bumped into people who are doing that.
I know. Well, bottom line is, you know, this is a long-term story. It's probably one you're to be covering for quite some time.
Well, honestly, it probably is decades of coverage when you consider that we do not know what the effects of the oil are going to be on the Gulf region, especially when you mix in that dispersant Corexit. I got a report yesterday, and I think I'll get a much better confirmation of it, but that there are pieces of small fragments or frost specks of oil showing up in the Dry Tortugas. And, you know, as you know, this Corexit breaks up the oil and keeps some of it below the surface. And if we're beginning to see the oil make its way down to the Dry Tortugas, then we're really getting an idea that it's not what we see, it's what we may not see that could be the real hidden danger here.
Now, I know you're a diver. I know you went down a couple of days ago, didn't you?
I did. I went down, and we were about 50 miles just northwest of where Deepwater Horizon was, where the oil's coming out. And I think the thing that was most apparent to me, I mean, there's oil in the water, there's oil below, at depths up to about 15, 20 feet. We went down to as low as 88 feet. I think what struck me the most was I saw the jellyfish floating through the water in the current, all with the oil in them. And then, of course, the turtles eat the jellyfish. So the turtles ingest the jellyfish and at the same time ingest the oil. And, you know, the scientists are concerned that long-term the ingestion of that oil causes the turtles to die. Kemp's Ridley is a type of turtle that's in the Gulf here, which is on the endangered, one of the most endangered turtles on the list. And we saw one of those dead coated in oil. And, you know, you start thinking about that life cycle and how everything's connected, and you realize that this oil can have long, long-term impacts.
And we're going to be talking a little bit later in the show about the turtles, by the way, Carrie, so that's a wonderful segue for us. Once again, Carrie Sanders, our pal from NBC News. Carrie will be talking to you in the next couple of weeks as you, I know, monitor the story and report on it from the Gulf, from Louisiana, from Florida. Carrie, thanks again. And when we come back, we're going to get a little local right here to Baldwin County to see what's really going on here in Gulf Shores. More from The Hangout in Gulf Shores, Alabama, with Peter Greenberg Worldwide right after this.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now.
Vacation, however, wanted. Vacation, had to get away. Vacation, meant to be spent alive.
So call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour, we are hanging out here at the Hangout Restaurant on the shores of Gulf Shores, Alabama, 32 miles long. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, no problemo. Just email me at peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem so we can solve it right here on the air. Of course, you know why we're in Alabama today, covering the net effects, the short-term effects, and, of course, the long-term effects of probably the most massive oil spill in our history. And when you take a look at the economic impact, consider this. We're in a place called Baldwin County. It draws about 4.5 million annual visitors. They pump about $2.3 billion into the local economy. And much of that money is spent right here in Gulf Shores. And to come down here now and looking at hotel occupancies and people canceling their vacation plans, you can see, as Kerry Sanders reported and Peter King reported, the devastating nature of the economic impact here of people making their vacation decisions, not necessarily based on information, but based on perception and fear. And needless to say, like we had with the volcano in Iceland and other economic meltdown, reactionary issues, we have a crisis. And when it comes to crisis management, one of my pals who is known for that, And I want to get to a definition of what crisis management really is. Are you actually managing the crisis? I mean, I don't know what that means, but we do know it's a crisis. Her name, Christine Nicholas, and joined by Mike Foster, who is with Gulf Shores and the Convention and Visitors Bureau. Normally, we don't have guests on this show from Convention and Visitors Bureaus because they tend to just want to promote blatantly their destination. But we've made an exception today because we're dealing with the destination. So joining me now, Christine and Mike, how are you guys?
Good morning.
Good to be with you again, Peter.
So tell me this, what is it that you're seeing down here? Because you're thrown into it, Mike. I mean, you wake up one morning, there's an oil spill in the Gulf, and all of a sudden you almost have it's not just a ripple effect, it's exponential.
It is. We're down a little over 35% right now, and we see that number just growing over the next couple of months. And it did. It's here, and part of the problem is that there's been the reporting, I think, has gotten out ahead of the story a little bit in some cases, where they try and paint Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama all with the same brush. And anybody who lives down here, who's spent any time down here, knows that those are hugely different destinations. And certainly we all have different impacts from what's happening out in the Gulf.
I mean, if you take a look at where we are right now, I mean, just to give us a sense of place, we're equidistant in a sense between Mobile, Alabama, and Pensacola.
That's correct.
In fact, if you want to come to Gulf Shores, you can fly to either airport.
Either airport.
But from a geographic, I guess, consciousness point of view, most Americans, when you say Florida Panhandle or the Gulf, they don't really know what we're talking about.
They don't, and they really don't know. In fact, we've got a place down on the line between Florida and Alabama, and that's the only thing that most people know when they cross. Because, quite honestly, the beach over in Pensacola looks exactly like our beach, and the condos look alike. And so we're very mirrored. The only difference is somebody drew a line down there 150 years ago.
Sure. Christine, I mean, you're one of those Yankees from New York. Of course, I first met you when you were basically working for Mayor Rudy Giuliani.
Right.
Talk about crisis management.
Almost every day.
Almost every day. So what are you seeing down here?
Well, this is like very different than most crises, because this is something where, you know, the actual event happened 55 days ago and there's a waiting game. And people are looking out at this beautiful white sandy beach. They look at the beautiful Gulf. Can they go in? Can they not go in? Should we make our vacation? Should we not? It's almost like a waiting game, unlike this region that is used to dealing with, and I know I'm not supposed to say the hurricane word, but look, when there's a storm, you clean up. You're open for business again, hopefully, within a couple of weeks. This is a situation where completely different, because you don't know when you're going to be back up and running fully. I mean, it is open, it's up and running, and there's so much to do down here other than the beach, should the beaches close. Right now the beaches are open, but there's this unsuredness. I mean, there's this anticipation of what's next. I mean, how can we really cope with this? And that's the real trick here.
I think, if I can just interject, I think the other thing that comes into play, especially now during the summer, is that we're dealing with people's summer vacation. This is what they put their nickels and dimes away all year round to be able to come to the beach or be able to go on a summer vacation. The family's got the cars ready, everything's set, and suddenly we're looking at a situation. What happens if we get down here, there's oil, and our vacation is ruined? You know, and we can't do that.
Well, there are a number of resorts, not just here, but along the whole coast here, that have offered up clean beach guarantees or basically a fact that when you get down here, the beach will be open. And I guess the real question is that having any positive impact?
I think what happened and what we saw is that when people started offering the clean beach guarantee or the no oil guarantee, at least we made a stop in the number of cancellations. We've leveled off in that. And we have not seen any growth in it, but at least we've stopped the cancellation. So it's reaching some people.
Well, Mike Foster, Christine Nicholas, thank you for joining us. Obviously, we're making a statement by being here, just like we did in Mexico, just like we did in Hong Kong. Guys, get a map, do your homework, and for the moment at least, get your butts down here. We'll be back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide from the Hangout in Gulf Shores, Alabama, right after this.
Call now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Continental Airlines. With over 260 destinations in more than 50 countries, Continental makes it easy to create your own worldwide tour. Continental Airlines. Work hard. Fly right.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
43 minutes after the hour, coming to you from the Hangout Restaurant right here on the shores of Gulf Shores, Alabama. Taking your phone calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88 Peter. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. I've been coming down to this part of the United States for a long, long time, and I hesitate to tell you that right before the Apollo moonshots, I would come down to Eglin Air Force Base and hang out with a legendary pilot and a former Assistant Secretary of Defense. He later on went to work for NORAD, running NORAD. His name was Chappie James. And I learned a lot about aviation, a lot about flying from him. But if you really want to learn about stuff, one of the other reasons why to come down here is the Naval Air Museum. How cool is that? 700 aircraft on display. Joining me now from the Naval Air Museum, Captain Rasmussen. How are you, man?
I'm good, thank you.
Now, you were a former pilot. I should never say former pilot.
Well, that's a former. I stopped flying about 25 years ago when I retired from the Navy.
But you were flying everything, right?
Right.
What'd you fly?
Well, I started out flying the SNJ, the famous Texan that all pilots in the early 50s flew, and then into the F-6F Hellcat, finally into fighters in the Navy. I flew for a while with the Blue Angels. And
was that the Corsair?
No, we had the F-11 at the time.
Sure, the Corsair was a carrier aircraft.
Right.
Yeah.
And the Hellcat was a carrier.
It sure was.
That was World War II type.
That was World War II. I remember when I was watching all the documentaries about World War II, the two things I used to see were Jimmy Doolittle's raid on Tokyo off the aircraft carrier, and, of course, the Hellcats. Those are beautiful planes.
They are beautiful.
And you've got them on display.
We do. We have two Hellcats in the museum. Actually, we have almost 1,000 airplanes in our collection, although only 155 of them are actually at the museum. That's a large number of airplanes. Try to get inside a building, though, as you can well imagine.
Now, what's the, I would say, and this is probably an unfair question, but what's the most interesting plane you've got there?
Well,
for you?
For me, there are probably two that fit into that category. One of them is the first aircraft to fly across the Atlantic in 1919. That's the NC-4. And the other one is...
And that was before Lindbergh.
Yes, a few years before Lindbergh, about 8 years before Lindbergh. It was not a nonstop, and it wasn't a solo, so it's a major accomplishment.
See, if it wasn't a nonstop, it was a solo. It's much like what we fly today commercially.
That's correct. Although I think it took them 4 days to get across.
As I said, just like flying commercially today.
Right, that's correct. You got it.
What's your most high-tech plane on display?
Well, I suppose...
The F-14?
The F-14 is the most high-tech airplane. We don't collect airplanes that are still in the service in the Navy, so the high-tech airplanes are still out there working for the Navy. We do have a couple of F-18s that belong to the Blue Angels back a few
years. Well, they're still flying the F-18s.
Yes, they are.
Are the F-14s all retired now?
Yes, they are.
What about the 15s? The 15s are not a Navy plane, though.
Not a Navy
airplane. I shouldn't be talking about the 15 to you.
No, they're still in the inventory.
I must say, I had a chance. I produced a movie many years ago called Red Flag with the Air Force. And they also had Navy guys out there, of course. They had Navy and Marine pilots. But I got a chance to fly back seat on an F-15. We got permission for a vertical takeoff. And then I learned a very painful lesson. And I'm sure you'll appreciate this, Captain. After I landed, we went to the officers' club. And somebody said two words to me, dead bug. And I didn't know what they were talking about, and everybody hit the floor, and before I knew it, I was buying drinks for the entire officers' club.
You did learn, though.
Oh, that, I only had to learn once.
That's great.
I only had to learn once. Now, the coolest thing about your museum, of course, admission's free.
Admission free. We have about 300,000 square feet in air-conditioned space and full of about 101 airplanes in that building. So it's a wide range of aircraft that belong to the Navy from 1911 on to 99.
Now, the cool thing about being down here at this time of the year, we're in middle of June right now, but we all know what happens coming up soon. We got the Blue Angels performing.
Right.
That is one show. If you've never seen it, you need to go see it.
As a matter of fact, we have the Blue Angels, of course, stationed at NAS Pensacola.
Oh, by the way, I know that because when you land at the Pensacola Airport, you can't hide it. You can't hide it. You really, I mean, you just walk out there and you can't ignore the fact that there it is.
That's right. And we have them right behind our building, and they practice at the Naval Air Station almost every Tuesday and Wednesday during the summertime.
So what you're really saying is if you can't make it to the actual show, just go out to the air station, and you're going to see them performing.
Come on out to behind the museum, and you'll see them performing at 8:30 on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. I recommend checking to make sure they're going to be flying.
You got it. Captain Rasmussen from the Naval Air Museum, thank you for joining us. And I live at places like yours, so thanks so much.
Come see us.
When we come back, we talked to Kerry Sanders about earlier. We're going to check on turtles. We'll be back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Travel Guard Insurance. For travel insurance plans for the unexpected, see your travel agent or visit TravelGuard.com for affordable travel insurance protection from Travel Guard.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
It's 52 minutes after the hour, 85 degrees here in Gulf Shores, Alabama at the Hangout Restaurant. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We will solve it right on the air. Earlier in the program, we were talking to Kerry Sanders from NBC News, who did a piece for the Nightly News where he actually went out. He's a diver, went out about 50 miles from the actual site of the Deep Horizon explosion and failure, and reported from that. Also reported that much closer to shore, there were no problems. It all depends on where you happen to be, on what day you happen to be. And joining me now, a good friend of mine, good friend of the show, somebody who knows just a little bit about diving, Tom Ingram, who's the executive director of the Diving Equipment and Marketing Association. Now, obviously, Tom, it's in your best interest that the beaches be open. It's in your best interest that the water be clean. But realistically, you're dealing with a matter of perception out there, aren't you?
We are, Peter, and I appreciate you giving us the opportunity to talk a little bit about it. It really is a media perception in many ways. You know, there's two kinds of things.
You're not blaming me, are you?
Of course not. There's actually two kinds of damage here. There's the actual damage, and then there's this perceived damage that's out there. And the actual damage is at least to dive sites, is fairly minimal at this point. Of course, we all saw the great report that Kerry did the other night, and he demonstrated that you can, in fact, find the oil out there. But for the most part, in that area, the dive sites are very clean. And certainly when you get down away from the northwestern coast of Florida and the Gulf area and move down toward the southern part of Florida, you have absolutely no damage at all, no oil anywhere, anywhere in sight.
Now, for people who are recreational divers, we're not talking about commercial divers here. We're talking about recreational divers who've either booked flights or booked trips. How do they get more information and know the exact status of the place that they're going to?
Well, DEMA has actually put together a website that will list all of the operators in Louisiana and Texas, Florida, Mississippi, and Alabama, and they are actually up as we speak posting current diving conditions. For example, we've got a video that was taken up there off of the Oriskany, which is the world's largest artificial reef site. It's right off of Pensacola, Florida.
Now, the Oriskany, of course, for those who don't remember, is an aircraft carrier, or was an aircraft carrier.
It was an aircraft carrier, and some 880 feet long and resting on the bottom of the ocean about 20 miles off of Pensacola, and a great dive site and one of the most active artificial reefs around. Very clean. I spoke with them late yesterday afternoon, and they are still diving on the Oriskany. It's still clean.
Now, there are a number of organizations that have gotten to what we call the webcam, you know, parade. In Florida, you've got all the beaches there doing live webcams of their sites. What are you doing for your stuff?
Well, on GulfStateDiving.com, anyone can log on there and see what is happening from a posting standpoint. And all the dive operators, the retail dive centers, the boats, and so forth, are posting information about the dive sites all along the Gulf Coast. So any information they're looking for, they can find there.
Now, I'm talking to you right now from Gulf Shores, Alabama. We got 32 miles of beaches. When I got in last night, it was late. Went to bed, woke up this morning, and I saw, of course, the distinct orange booms out there in the water, but I didn't see a lot of damage to the beach. I guess the question is, how do you know? I mean, the visual images are so strong, Tom. You know, when you see those booms, when you see the aerials, you know, that one picture that says 1,000 words could never be more true than it is now about the one bird covered in oil. You're looking at long-term effects here, aren't you?
We really are looking at long-term, very devastating effects. And what's going to happen here is that habitat and, of course, wildlife are going to be damaged over the long run. And as they work to contain this, it's going to take a long time, not just to contain it, but to clean it up. And so anyone that wants to get involved in this as a diver, there are some things that they can do. And what we're seeing is a lot of diving folks that are actually volunteering to go to the Gulf Coast and try to do some good things. And we've put together some advice for them if they are going to get involved in working with this, one of which is to go first to their local retail dive center and find out some information about what's happening, what the centers are doing to organize volunteers. And they can find their retail dive center at beadiver.com.
Now, there's also the Reef Environmental Education Foundation, which is www.reef.org, also a great resource. It'll be interesting to see what you guys as divers can do. Obviously, you're limited in how deep you can go, but let's face it, when you're going along the Gulf here and you're in the shoreline area, there's a lot you can do.
There is a lot you can do. And before oil reaches an area, what we're suggesting is that the retail dive centers and the divers themselves can organize and go down to pick up all of the trash, any obstacles that are in the water now, because that does act as an accumulator for any oil that gets down there.
I gotcha. Tom, I got to cut you off. That music means we're out of time for this hour. Tom Ingram from DEMA, the Dive Equipment Manufacturers Association. Thank you, Tom. We'll have all those resources listed on our website. In the meantime, that means we'll be back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide with our next hour from Gulf Shores, Alabama, and The Hangout right after this.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com.